This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Tomorrow, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments on the constitutionality of a Massachusetts law that creates 35-foot buffer zones around the entrances and driveways of abortion clinics. It prohibits anyone from entering those zones except clinic employees, patients using the facility, or people just passing through. The law is meant to protect patients from being blocked or intimidated by anti-abortion protesters. But the seven protesters who've petitioned the high court say the buffer zones violate their First Amendment rights. The lead petitioner is 77-year-old Eleanor McCullen of Newton.
I'm curtailed. I'm limited as far as my message of caring can go. And it is America, and as long as I'm gentle and caring, I should be able to walk with them a little bit further, 35 more feet, to where they're going in.
First Amendment scholars are coming down on both sides of this controversial issue. In a few minutes, we'll hear from one of the law professors who filed a brief with the Supreme Court in support of the state and its buffer zone law. But first, one of the law professors who filed a brief calling the law unconstitutional. Professor Eugene Volokh teaches free speech law at UCLA and joins us by phone from California. Professor Volokh, thanks for talking.
Always a pleasure.
And first, we should point out that you and the other professors who filed this brief have differing views on abortion rights, but you all agree on what you say are the First Amendment principles at stake. Would you summarize why you believe the buffer zones are a violation of free speech?
Imagine that there is a law that says union protesters can't go within 35 feet of the entrance to a building. Or let's say somebody wants to protest outside a gun store. You can't go within 35 feet of the entrance. Or imagine someone wants to protest outside of a place that they think is holding, say, a racist rally or something like that. Well, you can't go within 35 feet of an entrance. I think that would be pretty broadly recognized as a very substantial speech restriction.
But there are buffer zones around polling places that prevent people from handing out political literature. So how are abortion clinic buffer zones different than that?
So the Supreme Court, in the polling place case, recognized that those kinds of restrictions are subject to very serious constitutional scrutiny, that they're presumptively unconstitutional. But it said that as to those particular kinds of restrictions, both the breadth of them around the country, that is to say virtually all states have them, and the long, long-standing history behind these restrictions, basically 100 years or more, is enough to justify a limited exception to the general rule, which is that people can be within 100 feet of a factory, 100 feet of a church, 100 feet of a newspaper and the like in order to protest. The court recognized it was a content-based restriction, unlike the one here where the lower court said, oh, no, it's just a content-neutral one.
We should explain when you talk about content-neutral, the idea is the law says that no matter what you're saying, you can't say it within 35 feet, so whether you're protesting or supporting abortion rights. But you and other opponents of the law say it's not content-neutral because you say the law basically says the main speech that's prohibited is speech against abortion.
So first of all, the law is limited to abortion clinics. But beyond that, the law has a specific exception for basically employees of the clinics and others working with the clinics. So we're talking here about a law that favors one side of the debate.
And this is the portion of the law that says that abortion clinic employees are able to be in that zone. They can accompany and escort patients into the building. So they're allowed in there.
Exactly.
Now, the speech isn't entirely restricted, as you pointed out. It just has to happen outside the 35-foot buffer zone. And there are actually lines painted on pavement to indicate where the zones are. So protesters can speak. Tell us why you think that's still legally problematic.
The protesters here, I mean, depends on the protester, but many of the protesters don't want to be out at a distance as part of some mob across the street. They want to be there standing there saying, look, you're about to make a decision that we think is the wrong decision for you. Do you want to talk to us about it? And it's that kind of person-to-person conversation that is protected by the First Amendment and yet that this law prohibits.
In places like Boston, of course, we know what can happen when angry protesting becomes violent, you know, the John Salvi shootings. So how do you balance the free speech rights of protesters against the right of those patients to not be harassed or physically harmed?
The general rule is you can't restrict peaceful speech simply because of the fear that it might turn violent. You certainly can and should station police officers, security guards, and others to arrest those who are violent. There's no First Amendment right to be violent or to threaten violence. But the mere fact that some kind of advocacy has at times led to violence or that some movement has an extreme fringe that is violent doesn't justify restricting the speech, whether it's abortion, anti-abortion speech, whether it is pro-civil rights speech, whether it is pro-labor speech, whether it's anti-civil rights speech, or what have you.
Eugene Volokh teaches free speech law at UCLA, and he was one of a number of law professors who filed a brief with the Supreme Court opposing the Massachusetts abortion clinic buffer zone law. Professor Volokh, thanks for talking with us.
Always a pleasure.
And now we turn to one of the 20 constitutional law professors who signed a brief supporting the state of Massachusetts and its buffer zone law. Renee Landers is a professor and director of the health law program at Suffolk University Law School. Renee, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Sasha, for having me here.
And Renee, why do you believe that this buffer zone is constitutional?
Because I think that there's nothing in the Constitution that's an absolute. There are many provisions of the Constitution that are seemingly written in absolute terms, but the court has never really interpreted them that way. And I think that the buffer zone law strives to strike a balance between two competing constitutional interests. One is this very important interest in free speech and the First Amendment rights to try to persuade people of other views, and the competing right to have access to health care services, reproductive health care services specifically. And I think the buffer zone law strikes an appropriate balance.
And supporters of the buffer zone, like you, say that the restrictions apply to everyone, no matter what they have to say about the issue of abortion. But opponents argue that the zones are clearly targeted at abortion protesters, since clinic employees are allowed to approach and escort patients. So they say the law is not neutral. And what's your response to that?
Well, the clinic employees are just doing their jobs. You know, part of their job is to help people find the clinic. But the clinics have very clear rules. The employees are not to engage in any kind of persuasive or counseling activity. They are merely escorts.
When we spoke earlier with Eugene Volokh, we heard from the lead petitioner in the case, Eleanor McCullen. She's an elderly abortion protester from Newton. And she says that she and the people who she protests with have never crossed the line into intimidation or violence.
I say, could I just talk to you for a couple of minutes? I try to offer hope and help and love. And I tell her, I said, if you don't like the help we can give, certainly come back this afternoon. And where the buffer zone comes in is 35 feet back, and it's very difficult.
So, Renee, what about that argument that some protesters just want to have a quiet, civilized, heartfelt conversation to try to change the mind of patients who might be considering an abortion?
There's nothing in the buffer zone law that prohibits that, because the people have to walk through the protest zones to get into the buffer zone, to get into the clinic entrance.
But protesters do say once patients get in the buffer zone, they basically have to yell at them to be heard, and then they look sort of extreme and they can't make their cases reasonably.
Right, but there's also a long history here. This law is not the first attempt by Massachusetts to regulate in this area. There were more modest approaches with smaller buffer zones, a floating zone, and those were not manageable because it may be that this particular plaintiff has not engaged in any kind of intimidating or harassive behavior that tried to prevent people from actually getting to the entrance, but other people were not so well behaved. And therefore, you know, after having tried those less intrusive approaches, this was the law that seems to have worked.
Would you, as a constitutional law expert, be supportive of a law that eliminated the buffer zone but allowed protesters in as long as they were stationary or didn't accost anyone and were very quiet and sort of moderate in their conversation?
That was what the prior law required. And the law also had an exception for people who invited the conversation with the protesters.
Were willing to have that conversation.
Were willing to have that conversation. And that's fine. Those people can still step outside the buffer zone and have that conversation with the protesters. And the problem was that it became impossible for police or anyone else trying to enforce the statute to determine whether someone had invited the protester in. That was a very hard line to manage. We actually don't have the right to screen out all the speech that we don't want to hear or that we find offensive or inappropriate, but we also have a right, you know, not to have, you know, people screaming in our faces and pushing us and touching our bodies, trying to get us to listen to their message.
Renee Landers is a professor at Suffolk University Law School and director of its health law program. Renee, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you very much, Sasha.